These are always new seasons that we walk through. You know, again, any questions you have, please feel free to ask. We have a church council. We need to make them more visible of who they are so you can ask them questions. We're going to do that because we want to make sure that you have every opportunity that as we go through seasons, you understand this is not about me. This is not about us as a staff. This is about the body of Christ. There's so many seasons and changes that go on. I believe the Lord's going to move in some strategic ways even now. Remember Isaiah 43? I didn't mean that in a humorous way when I said, you know, don't look at the old, look at the new. Don't look at the things in the past. I didn't mean that as a joke. That's what it says in the Word of God. It says, don't look at the way you used to do things. Start looking at the new things that I'm doing. Behold, I'm doing it now, he said. God's doing it. Whether you see it or not is another thing. This all came about, and at some time maybe I'll share what the Lord, I mean, I will. I'm not hiding anything. I'll share with you when I have more time, but just how the Lord brought that about. But it's just neat to see how God's just moving some things around. I think he's taken us to a different depth. And whenever you go to a different depth, there has to be, there's a requirement that the environment you're in changes. Otherwise, like a submarine, the lower you dive, if you do not make room for environmental changes, it will crush you. And so the Lord, I believe, has taken us to a new depth. And some of us are feeling uncomfortable. You know why? The pressure's on. And you got to change your environment and let God meet you where you're at. So I'm excited to see what God's going to do. Now, we're going to continue. Now, if you were not here last week, we started a new series called The Soul Man. I'm going to give you the 3 points. This is really, 3 things is all I said. Actually, I said 1 last week, but we'll finish it today. It's understanding that God has created us. We're going to be taking a look at our soul over the next few weeks and understand what that really means. I basically said 3 things. I am a spiritual being, I have a soul, and I live in a body. That's the 3 things. As a matter of fact, I think we got them up on the screen there. Say them with me. Ready? Go. I am a spiritual being, I have a soul, and I live in a body. That's what it boils down to. Now, let me talk to you about this, because some people said, oh, we're going to do the spirit, soul, body message, you know, because we got to talk about this every so often. But I want to take a look at it from a little bit different angle. As a matter of fact, I heard from somebody, I don't remember who it was, OSL 4 students. Who's our OSL 4 students? I heard that you listened to Jerry Dierman, and he spoke something on this, I think it was 4, and they were like, he said the same thing. I had no clue he was going to say that. It's amazing to see how God just starts to align things up and teach you about what's going on in the body of Christ. We are spiritual beings who have a soul and we live in a body. I went to Matthew 22 last week and we read the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. The second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I said, how can you love the Lord with your heart, soul, and mind? And you got to remember this. Our soul, last week we clarified this. Our soul is very powerful because our soul wants what it wants. Do you know that? Say it with me. My soul wants what it wants. You're not going to like to say that, but if you don't believe me, then go on a diet. Go on a diet. My soul wants what it wants. No, I don't believe in that. You go on a diet, and all of a sudden you cut out them Big Mac fries. All of a sudden you're like, dude, my soul wants what, this is not a soul issue. This is a stomach issue. No, it's not. It's a soul because you want what you want. You want to eat what you want to eat. Well, Pastor, I don't struggle with that. Okay, do you drink soda, like lots of soda? Stop drinking that soda. Watch how you will respond because you ultimately want what you want. Oh, that's not a problem for me. Cut out the coffee. Oh, Pastor, now you're cutting me where I live. My point is I'm not saying go on a diet and quit eating Big Macs. I'm saying if you don't believe that your soul's that powerful, do something that your soul's been telling you should do for years and stop doing it just to see how your soul acts. You can do that. Do you know that? Your soul, it's very powerful. See, we talked about the fact that we're spiritual beings. You and I, we're spiritual beings, and we love to be filled. We love to be full. We talked about the fact that the heart, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Heart, the Greek word for that was cardia. Remember that? Which is where we get the word cardio. And it deals with the fact of, I believe that has a slide up there for you, that deals with your thinking. It's your understanding. And we said, love the Lord your God with all your mind. Dianoia is the Greek word. And that means your intellect, your operation of understanding. And then love the Lord with your soul. Psuche is the word. It's where we get the word psych, psychology. And it's the immaterial, eternal part of the inner person, which we're going to focus on that. But the Bible says, love the Lord your God with all of your cardia, your dianoia, and your psuche. What did you just say? Love the Lord your God with all that you have, your intellect, the way that you purposely think, the way that you consciously dissect. Because some of us, you know when somebody's telling you a story, you know when there's deception that's going on. You know, you can see what's coming down the pike. As much as you can think that through, love the Lord your God with all of that, with all of your thoughts. Love the Lord your God with every process that you have. And we talked last week about we're a spirit, soul, and body. We got a little picture we put up there to help kind of explain it. Inside of you and me, for every human being, is a spirit. There is a human spirit inside of you. It's surrounded by a soul, and then it's encapsulated within a body. Okay? Are you with me so far? The moment you and I ask Jesus to come into our heart and forgive us of our sins, bam, he comes right into your spirit. His Holy Spirit comes into your human spirit. You are now saved, a Christian, born again, you know, words like that. And the moment that we become born again, our spirit sings, hallelujah, it's going to heaven. But guess what? Our soul doesn't like it. Our soul has been calling the shots for years and telling you to do whatever it is that you want to do. And your human spirit, when God enters that, starts saying, no, you can't do that. Don't do that. That's not the right choice. Your soul is going to argue with that. It's going to fight against it. And your soul is just, it's encapsulated within your body. Your body, as we'll see in a moment, is a vehicle, if you will, for our soul and for our spirit. So we started with saying that you and I are spiritual beings, and I think that's right about where we stopped. And so I'm going to pick up just the fact that you and I, because we're spiritual beings, don't lose that. God is a spiritual being. If you go back to Genesis 1:26, it says that God, he said, let us make man in our image and let them have dominion over the fish of the seas and all the horses and monkeys and all that good stuff. Okay? I'm paraphrasing for sake of time. But what he did say is, let us create man after our own likeness. Let us create man in our own image. God is a spiritual being. If we've been created in his image, you and I, therefore, are spiritual beings. Yes? Are you? Do you agree? Okay. So don't lose sight of this. You and I are spiritual beings. We are not human beings. Whoa. You're messing with me now. I thought we were human beings. We are human beings, but not first and foremost. We are first and foremost spiritual beings who have a soul and live in a body. We cannot forget that, and we got to have it in that order. That's why Job says in Job 32:8, he says, but there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. What Job is confirming is what Paul was teaching about in the Bible. It's what Jesus was teaching and declaring as he walked. He would teach the fact that we all contain within you and I a spirit. We are a spiritual being. It's through the spirit of man that God communicates with us. When God speaks to you, he speaks through your spirit. He doesn't speak to you through your soul, because that would be living on the soulish realm, which God does not live there. He lives on the spiritual realm. He does not communicate to you, I'll probably say this a few times, he does not communicate to you through the physical realm, because God does not live on the physical realm. He is a spiritual being. So he communicates to you through your spirit. The problem is somewhere between the spirit of God and our body doing whatever it is our soul's telling it to do. You got your soul right there calling the shots. We're going to take a look at what that means and how that affects everything. Because when you ask Jesus into your heart, I told you last week, I said, 1/3 of you get saved just like that. That's your spirit. Your spirit gets saved. And then the Bible says that we are to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. Do you remember that verse? Yeah, the rest of you remember it. You just don't want to, right? Why? Because who wants to discipline themselves? That's what the Bible's talking about when it says, discipline yourselves for the purpose of godliness. How am I supposed to do that? Just keep saying no to all these things and addressing it in the physical body realm? No. He's saying, let the Spirit of God enter your life, and then here's where the real battle is going to be. It's between God's Spirit that's inside of you and your soul who wants to call the shots. Let me ask you this. And do not raise your hands. Okay? Did you hear that? Okay, I'm just making sure you hear it, because I don't want somebody to not pay attention. They go, yeah, that's me. Oh, sorry. How many times have you found yourself in a place doing something that you know isn't completely the right thing to do, but you have justified it and you are going to do it because you want to do it. How many times have you found yourself in a place knowing it's sin and being okay with it because there's that part of you that says, I deserve it? How many times have you been in that place, and I'm not even asking if you've been in that place, I'm saying when you've been in that place, where you wrestle with, I'm doing this, and I know it's not completely right, but I don't think and really believe it's completely wrong either. You know you shouldn't do it, but you do it because you want to do it. What is that part of you that draws you to want to do that? I'll tell you what it is. That's your soul. That's your soul. That's why it's so important to take a look at the health of our soul. In the next few weeks, we're going to talk about how powerful our soul is. We're going to talk about what an unsurrendered soul looks like, an unsurrendered soul. We're going to talk about the keys to the kingdom, binding and loosing. We're going to learn how to use our keys. But we have to start here understanding what our soul is all about. Well, when I die, do I go to heaven, Pastor? Yeah, you go to heaven. If you have Jesus in your heart, you've invited the Spirit of God. It's not about a perfect soul. When you and I, when our expiration date comes, our time that we are to leave this place, vacate this body, our spirit and our soul are going to exit and go to be in the presence of God. But people say, well, I've got to have a perfect soul. Is that what you're saying? No. There's a difference between, it's not about, oh, I've identified the problem. It's my soul. That's why I make these bad choices. So if I could just like cut my soul out and throw it over here, I'd be okay, right? No. No, you wouldn't. Because your soul, as we'll find out, is a combination of our mind, our will, and our emotions. What we have to look at it is and say, do I have a healthy or an unhealthy soul? That's what it boils down to. So you and I, we are spiritual beings, but yet when we come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we're brand new as a Christian, we still struggle at times. We struggle with sin. And I said it last week, it drives me nuts when somebody comes to Jesus and they give their heart to Jesus, but then somebody judges them 4 days later because they're still smoking or drinking or hanging out at the bar or making these poor decisions. Are they right choices? No, but they've asked Jesus into their heart, but their soul has been doing this for years, and they're struggling with that. How dare we come along and judge them, not knowing at all where they're at? That's between them and the Lord. Now, there's a difference between they're struggling because they're new Christians and they're struggling 10 years later with that same problem, okay? There's balance, don't get me wrong. You call sin sin, but come on, you know, you got to have that balance. See, we struggle at times not understanding. First of all, God is a spiritual being, therefore man is a spiritual being. The spirit of man, the real person, departs the body and heads for heaven or hell at the moment of physical expiration. The Bible shows us this. John 14:1. Do you remember that? I hope you do because I just went blank. I go and prepare a place for you. There it is. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you into myself, right? He says very clearly that when the moment of physical expiration takes place, I will come and receive you to this place that I've prepared for you. 2 Corinthians 5:8 goes on to say a little bit more about this whole spirit and soul departing the body. Well, doesn't the body go? No. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says this, to be absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. It goes and reaffirms the fact that when we die, the soul and the spirit of us will leave the body and it will be returned back to the earth. Corinthians shows us that at physical death, the spirit, the real person, vacates the body and heads for its eternal destination. Now, whichever way you go is going to be determined by what decisions you made while living here on earth. When I'm doing funerals, I want them to understand the reality of heaven and hell. I want to love them with the love of Jesus, but I don't want to sugarcoat it either. You know what I mean? You got to find that balance. And I've always found it hard to be able to go, you know, I don't want to do a funeral and like, you know, if you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven? I don't want to go into one of those because that's kind of a harsh reality. So I found this poem that I used to help bring it out. And if you've been to a funeral that I've done, you've heard it. It's called The Tombstone. It just shows the reality of heaven and hell. It says a guy was walking through guy was walking through a cemetery, and you know, he saw a headstone, and etched on it was a poem that said, pause, stranger, as you pass me by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be, so prepare for death and follow me. It's kind of a morbid poem, you thought? It's not a very hopeful, promising one, because after all, I don't know. So he scratched it out, and he etched this into the tombstone. To follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went. And people at a funeral will chuckle just like that, but they'll go, ooh, yeah, there's a reality that he just shared with me about there is a heaven, there is a hell. And depending on what decision you make right now determines that when you physically expire, what happens with your soul? What happens with your soul? See, the scripture says to us in Philippians 1:23 that to depart and be with Christ is far better, it says. Notice two things I put up there. It says, first of all, you see in the scriptures once again another reference to the fact that the human spirit can actually depart the human body. It will head for heaven. But number two, check this out. We see that to depart the human body for the Christian is not just better, it's what? Far better. He's like, you know what? If you're a Christian, dude, it's going to be awesome because it will be far better. You will have an eternity with Jesus Christ, because if you don't have that settled in your spirit, then you're going to be heading for a Christless eternity. So we are spiritual beings. Let me jump on to point number two. I have a soul. I have a soul. I said number one was I'm a spiritual being. Number two, I have a soul. Your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. It's a gift that God gives to you. You see, your mind is the way that you think. It's the way that you process. It's the way that you choose to do. It's part of the way that you choose to do some of the things that you do. Your will is how you're going to accomplish what it is you've decided to do. You ever hear somebody, you know, you said they're strong-willed. Maybe they've called you that. Maybe they use the word stubborn, you know. But your will is how you're going to get something done. But then thirdly, your emotions make up your soul. And emotions aren't a bad thing. Sometimes we feel like if we could just get rid of emotions, life would be so much better. Really? You really think that? See, emotions are good. It's a gift that God gives. Think of the emotions you have when you're filled with joy and there's a happiness inside of your heart. People have blessed you, let's say, with food, or they blessed you by paying a bill. Man, you're feeling great. Your emotions are high. When you see a married couple get married, they're emotionally worked up. They're like, yeah, and they're all excited and their emotions are feeling good. You graduate from a program, you feel good, there's joy that fills your heart. But on the flip side of those emotions, sometimes those emotions can be painful, can't they? Sometimes we experience things in life that cut us to the core, and they hurt us. Some of us, we go through the loss of a family member. We go through the loss of a bad financial deal. Some of us have had people that have cheated on us. We've had people that have stolen from us. Or maybe you're the one here that cheated or stole. The truth is God loves you for who you are. He loves you right where you're at. And he says, I give you the gift of a soul. And when you go through all these things in life, he says, love the Lord your God with that. You mean this big old hot mess right here? You want me to love God with that? Exactly. You bring it into the presence of an almighty God and watch what he can do. There's some things that I can't cook. There's some things that I can't do. But I can take them to a master chef and they somehow whip it out and you go, oh my gosh, they just Bobby Flayed that thing. I mean, it looks awesome. How did you do that? Because they know how those things work. You take your old hot mess and bring it to an almighty God, all of a sudden it turns into something beautiful when you let him heal your heart. When I say heal your heart, what I mean is heal your soul. That's where he meets you at. It's good to ask for God to heal your body. Nothing wrong with that. But when God heals your soul, it affects everything about you. It affects everything about you. And watch out, because here's what we need to know. The human soul is where we acquire knowledge. It's where we gain understanding. We store this stuff. But the human soul is also the battlefield where every Christian battle is either won or lost. The soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your soul is the battlefield where you will win or lose. And it all depends on what it is you're going to choose. It's going to depend on what you choose. That's why it says in Scripture, Ephesians 4:23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, it says in the Word of God. Colossians 3:10 says, having put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him. He says, get into the presence of God, because the enemy is going to try to deceive you. Hear this. The enemy is going to try to deceive you. He's going to try to tell you church is not important. He's going to say, don't listen to that pastor. He thinks he knows what he's talking about. You don't need to feed your spirit by journaling. You don't need to get reading books and educate yourself. You can just cruise on by. After all, you deserve it. Everything should just be handed to you. And you'll say, yeah, you're darn right it should be. And you'll agree with that. And you will be deceived and wondering why people will be coming into your presence. And it seems like they're just always arguing and fighting with you when they're just trying to bring some correction. Our souls will struggle with that. However you choose, whether you're going through promotions, raises, job changes, whatever it is, your soul is going to want to wrestle with that. And God would say, will you let me come? Will you let me heal your soul? The enemy is going to try to deceive you. He's the great deceiver. You know, years ago, 1860, I think it was, about 1860, President Ulysses S. Grant, you remember him? Hearing about him? Ulysses S. Grant? He had at the White House Horace Norton. He was the founder of a college, of the Norton College, and Norton was just honored to be in the presence of, President Ulysses S. Grant, and Ulysses S. Grant gave him a cigar. And Ulysses S. Grant was known to be kind of a prankster at times, and he gave him the cigar, but Norton was so honored. Oh my gosh, I can't believe that I got this, and he just honored it so much. He didn't want to smoke the thing, so he held on to it because he was so honored by it. And he ended up that when he passed away, he handed on to his son. And his son says, oh my gosh, this is my dad's. My dad met Ulysses S. Grant. Look at it. He got a stogie from him. I mean, this is awesome. He wouldn't smoke it because he was so honored by the fact that he got this. Well, then he passed it on to his son. And his son decided to smoke it, okay? Because it was the 40th anniversary of Norton University. And he said, man, in honor of my dad who founded this school and the cigar that President Ulysses S. Grant gave him, we're going to light this thing up. He got about four puffs into that, and boom, the cigar blew up. That's right. 40 years earlier, Ulysses S. Grant handed a loaded cigar to Mr. Norton because he just wanted to have some fun with him. Now, what's the point of that story? Ulysses S. Grant was being fun, but he was in a way of pranking, he was just trying to deceive him a little bit, be sneaky. But I tell you what, the enemy of our soul, he's going to try to hand you a loaded cigar. Sometimes he'll hand it to you and he'll say, here's that girl, here's that woman. Oh my gosh, I cannot believe that we are dating. This is so awesome. I will never do anything. Careful when you say those things. I will never do anything to make this relationship end. You can almost take it to the bank. I can't say that. You just messed it all up. You know what I mean? Because you start into an avenue of wrong agreements. I cannot believe this man is in my life. Oh my gosh, this is so amazing. I can't believe I got this job. I'm making this money. I can't believe this. And we start holding on to these things and honoring these things as if they are from above when actually they're loaded cigars. All of a sudden, we get into a relationship and we say, this has to be God. Did you ask him? And if you did, what did he say? Sometimes we just assume that what's being handed to us is of God because I wanted it. And if I wanted it, then it must be from God, right? No. Because there's a lot of things I still want, I'm still waiting on, and God has clearly said, ain't going to happen. Why, God? Why can't I have it? Because it will hurt you. And I love you too much. Oh, no, it won't hurt me that bad. Yeah, it will. And he says no. But sometimes we get a hold of something and we hold on to it and honor it as if it were from God when it's deception. The enemy's going to come and he's going to try to get your eyes focused on something else. He's going to try to get you to look to the left or the right. He doesn't want you focused in on what his spirit is speaking to you. He doesn't want you learning about the word of God. And he definitely does not want you to learn about your soul. Because your soul is very powerful. And the moment you tap into that, you're going to be like, oh, man, I got it. When this comes together, the light will go on. And you say, now I see why she acts that way or thinks that way about me. Now I see why he thinks and acts that way. Now I understand myself and why I'm always triggered that way and I respond that way. I get it. It doesn't mean that you're perfect now. It means now you're looking at that mirror, the Word of God. And you're going, whoo, I see it now. Sometimes what you see, you're not going to like what you see. But God will show you, not because he wants you to get all creeped out, I don't like that about me. He shows you because he loves you and he trusts you and he wants to bring healing into your soul. Are you with me so far? Okay, because some of us, hey, we're pretty on the outside, but there's some ugliness on the inside. And we work hard at putting more pretty on, hoping it will hide the ugly. How has that worked? Never does. So, let me jump to I live in a body, and we'll end with this. I am a spiritual being, I have a soul, and I live in a body. In the Old Testament, In the old covenant, heaven was off limits. But because of the new covenant, Jesus paid the price for our sins. God sent his son Jesus, died on a cross. We sang the song about the cross being the key to victory. They looked at the cross and went, it's over, man. They got the cross out. Somebody's going to die today. I mean, somebody's going to bleed and it's going to be over. This is a mess. It's all jacked up and people are getting worked out. But when Jesus looked at the cross, he saw it for what it was, the key to victory for all his children. See, sometimes you and I, we look at messes in our life and we look at scenarios. Oh my gosh, things are happening. I can't believe they would say that. Things aren't going the way I want them to. And it looks all jacked up and it looks all messy, but the reality is God is in control. The mess that you see and the uncomfortable feelings you feel in your life right now might just be the ingredients that are needed so that you can learn what it is you need to learn. You ever think of that? Yeah, I don't like to think of that either. I'm just telling you what he told me, okay? Don't shoot the messenger. Because the message he has to bring is simply this. We are spiritual beings. We have a soul, and we live in a body. Now, the body is a dwelling place. It's a vehicle, if you will. Now, some of us might not be too thrilled about the make and model that God has given us, but I want you to remember this. God says, you have been fearfully and wonderfully made. You've been made in the image of God, and when God looks at you and God sees you, he says, well done. It is good. You bring so much pleasure to me. God, when he looks at you, sees himself. So don't you dare look in the mirror and say, what the heck? What was God thinking? I can't believe this. Now, is there something to be said about taking care of that which he's entrusted to us? Yeah. But don't ever judge yourself based on God must be nuts because look at me. Instead, why don't you look at it and go, look at me. God loves me. God loves me. Your body is just an outer shell that is a vehicle that is being used to contain your spirit and your soul. And when God looks at you, remember what he looks at. Remember, it says that man looks on the outside, but God looks where? He looks right at your heart. He looks at your heart. That's what he's concerned with, and that's what he's concerned about. He says, I love you so much. God, remember, does not contact you or communicate with you on a physical realm. He doesn't, through the body, he doesn't communicate on a physical realm because he's a spiritual being. He doesn't communicate on the soulish realm because God does not live in the soulish realm. God communicates through your spirit because he is a spirit being. If he's a spirit being and we've been created in his image, then we are spiritual beings as well. See, what I want to get across to you and just leave you with today is simply this. As we talk about spirit, soul, and body, it's going to challenge you. It's going to stretch you, but it's also going to bring health. It's going to bring healing. It's going to bring wholeness if you will only allow it. If you resist it, which you can, then you're going to stay stuck with what you've always had. And most of us have been praying, saying, God, change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart. Oh, not there. Don't do that. Change my heart, oh God. Make it more. No, not that one either. Don't change that. You see, we sing the song, but sometimes we resist the change when he brings it. God wants to change your heart. We look at this and say, look at the body. And then we go to the soul and eventually try to find a spiritual way to meet the needs that are hurting. Sometimes we make wrong choices. We look to the wrong spirits. We look to the bottle. We look to the tarot card. We look to the Ouija board. We look to the whatever it is. And God says, you know what? I want you to look in a fresh new way. I want you to start with the spirit man that can heal your soul. And when your soul becomes healed, you don't have to worry about the outside because your body only does whatever it is your soul tells you to do. You know that? It only does what your body tells it to do. He says, I will heal your heart and there will be a newness that I will bring. Maybe you're here today and you've been walking with the Lord for years. Maybe you've been walking with the Lord for years, but you've been carrying around this excess baggage. Unhealed hurts, wounds in your life, and God has not designed you to live that way. The question is, will you let him heal your soul? Will you let him? Will you let him in? Will you let him heal your soul? Maybe you've been thinking about a relationship with God. Can I just say this? Don't let the world influence you in such a way to keep you from receiving God's best. You are a spiritual being. And you and I, guess what? Say it many times. We are the righteousness of God. You and I have been made right, not because of how good you are, or how good I am, but because of how good God is. And based upon that, we can come boldly before the Almighty God and say, Lord, take me just as I am. And let Him transform your heart. Amen? Father, I thank You for Your Word and Your Spirit, and I pray today that, Lord, as we have opened up our hearts to receive from You about teaching on our soul, Lord, we bring to You our very soul. Lord, some of us are here today, and we're so wounded and broken. Some of us have been cut so deep that just like when we cut the flesh, we put our hand over it and hold it till the pain goes away. Some of us are holding on to soulish things in such a way, not because we don't want to trust You, but because it hurts to let go. Lord, I pray that You come and that You would just help people to open up their arms before You, that we can be vulnerable in the presence of Your Holy Spirit so that You can heal our hearts. Father, I pray for those of us that have become so bruised, so beaten, that we just don't care anymore. We just feel so numb, and it's like, yeah, let's just go to church and get it over with. Let's just do this. Yeah, okay, fine, whatever. And we become numb in our spirits to You bringing life. Lord, I pray that You'd stir our hearts once again and that we would never be comfortable with just getting by. That we wouldn't just jump through the hoops, but that we would look for the new and exciting thing that You're bringing into our life. So, Father, I pray today. Now, I simply want to ask this. If you're here today and it is a decision you need to make, you need Him to come and invite His presence to come in and save you in your very spirit and soul. I simply want to ask this. If that's you, just raise your hand that I might agree in prayer with you. You say, Pastor, that's me. I need that. If that's you, just raise your hand and I agree that God will meet you right where you're at. God sees your hand in your heart. You receive Him. As you raise your hand, God says, it is finished. It's done. He's given you what you needed to accomplish all that's been set before you. Trust in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Look not unto yourself. I agree with you, my brother. God sees your hand in your heart. Receive that in the name of Jesus today. I agree with you, my brother. God sees your hand in your heart. As much as you raise your hand, you too, as you raise your hand, God fills you with His love and His joy and His peace. You can know that today, I have asked Jesus into my heart. I know that I've made that right. Is there any other hearts here? Wait for just a moment. Okay. I agree with you. God sees your hand in your heart. You can know today that because you raise your hand, you're saying yes to Jesus. Anything that would ever happen, first of all, don't you fear that. Don't you worry about that. God, He's watching over you, but He's filling you now with His Spirit. You can say this right now. I know I have Jesus in my heart. I know I got a place in heaven. One day I'll be there. Until then, you just let Jesus speak to you, okay? You're going to see some cool things that He'll show you, and they're going to be simple like this. How beautiful you are and how much He loves you. Don't let anybody tell you different, okay? Because He loves you so much. So you know the hearts? God fills you with His Spirit right now in the name of Jesus. That change that's happening in your heart and in your life is going to happen from the soul level. It may be uncomfortable for a while, but know this. When God starts something, He desires to bring it through to a completion so that we just won't see just a change on the outside with an empty shell inside. He says, no, I'm going to fill you with my Spirit. Receive that today. Any other hearts here today? I agree with you. My brothers, you raise your hand. Know this. There is nothing in this world that you need to fear. There's nothing you need to worry about. There's nothing that you need to say. It is bigger than my God because your God is bigger than anything else that you face. And this world is going to try to tell you that, no, there's things that you got to be afraid of. But in the name of Jesus, He says, greater is He that's within you than anything else that's in this world. And as you raise your hand, you know, I don't believe that you're just raising it because you've never had a love for Jesus. I believe you're raising your hand because you know that there's something inside there in your soul that you want to surrender to God. I don't know what it is, and I don't need to know. But God wants you to know, yep, that's it. Will you surrender it to me? And will you let me heal that part of your heart so that you can experience my grace, so you can experience my joy, and I can fill you with my love? Receive that today. I'm just being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Is there any other hearts here today? Because my next question. I believe that the Spirit of God would speak to each and every one of us this morning and say that it's time that when you bury it, you leave it buried. No longer do you need to go digging it back up as if you need to give life to something that you feel you have to coexist with. That which I've called dead is dead. That which is bringing new life, I've called into your life. So start living in that way. I believe that God would say this. Here's the picture I have. By the way, those of you that are here today and you're saying, what just happened? It's a gift. It's a speaking in tongues the Bible talks about. It's when God wants to speak a message to us. And here's the picture I had. Some of us here today have issues in our soul that we want to bury. We want those habits, those addictions, those thought processes to die. But the problem is as soon as we have the authority and speak to it and we tell it to go back where it came from, we go and we resurrect it. As soon as we close a door, our soul opens it back up. The Spirit of God comes back and shuts it, and our soul opens it back up. And He says, how long will you keep opening those doors? Will you let me seal those doors once and for all so that no longer do you need to struggle with those things that are only there to bring destruction? But I'm coming to give you life. So that door that I've closed, I close and give you the authority to keep it to remain closed. But you and I have to walk that out. So Father, we receive what you have for us today. And I ask that. I ask that, Jesus, you would just give us fresh eyes to see what it is that you see, ears to hear what you're speaking, and a knowledge to understand what you want to do next. We ask in your name. Amen. You know, first service, I had this. It was really in my heart. The Lord showed me, but the Lord just made it clear to me. I was like, how do I put this in the right words? But many times God says, I give you all authority. You know that, right? In the Word of God, He says, I give you all authority. So in our spirit, man, what happens is we say, the authority that God gives me, I say no to this. I say no to that. You know, we take authority. We close those doors. But then all of a sudden, we go back and we resuscitate it. We give it CPR. We breathe life back into it. And then we feel guilty about making the same choice over again. And so we take the authority back and we claim that that door needs to be shut. And then we bring it back to life. It's like holding hand with life and death. And the Lord would just say, how long will you falter? How long will you attempt to try to walk the straight and narrow while holding onto the way of the world and holding onto the way of God? The choice is ours. This battle is real. It doesn't surprise me that as we talk about our soul, people get uncomfortable. They get a little squeamish. You know why? Because our souls, they get nervous because they know they need to be healed. Will you stand with me? I'll stop talking. But I pray that you come back with your hearts just open, ready to receive what the Holy Spirit has. OSL, groups 1, 2, 3, and 4, 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock, we'll see you there. God bless you guys. Don't forget about signing up for ISI and the Bulls game. We'll see you next week.